Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudvip, text number 10. In his own book known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of the mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of his transcendental literature, so too, Sarvani Manu, in order to teach those inhabitants of Bhartvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Arnashram Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, Narada Muni, along with other inhabitants of Bhartvarsha, always engage in the service of Narada Narayan, and he chants as follows. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has clearly declared, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusha Janmanyar Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Para Upakara. The real success, fulfillment of the mission of human life can be achieved in India, Bhartvarsha. Because in Bhartvarsha, the purpose of life and the method for achieving success are evident. People should take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Bhartvarsha, and this is especially so for those who are following the principles of Arnashram Dharma. If we do not take to the principles of Arnashram Dharma by accepting the four social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four orders of spiritual life, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, there can be no question of success in life. Unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, everything is now being lost. The inhabitants of Bhartvarsha are gradually becoming degraded, Malechas and Yavanas. How then will they teach others? Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement has been started not only for the inhabitants of Bhartvarsha, but for all people of the world, as announced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is still time, and if the inhabitants of Bhartvarsha take this movement of Krishna consciousness seriously, the entire world will be saved from gliding down to a hellish condition. The Krishna consciousness movement follows the process of Pancharatrika Vidhi and that of Bhagavad Vidhi simultaneously so that people can take advantage of the movement and make their lives successful. So the text again. In his own book known as Narada Pancharatra, Bhagavan Narada has very vividly described how to work to achieve the ultimate goal of life, devotion, through knowledge and through execution of mystic yoga system. He has also described the glories of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature to Sarvani Manu in order to teach those inhabitants of Bhartvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Arnashram Dharma how to achieve devotional service to the Lord. As Narada Muni, along with the other inhabitants of Bhartvarsha, always engage in the service of Narada Narayan, and he chants as follows. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutta Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarane. If you want to find out how Narada Muni chants, you have to come back tomorrow. But it will be revealed tomorrow if you come back, guaranteed. In any case, as Srila Prabhupada states, there are two aspects of the Hare Krishna movement. One aspect is to make the atmosphere favorable for the chanting, and the other is to chant Hare Krishna. Just like we're trying to use our intelligence to make our consciousness favorable so that Krishna will be there. Similarly, Varnashram is the manifestation of Krishna's intelligence in the material world to gradually come to the platform of liberation from material concepts. If material concepts and Krishna consciousness don't go together. We can't think that Krishna is an ordinary person and he's the Supreme Person simultaneously. Or we can't think that Krishna is ordinary and think he's something extraordinary simultaneously. Whether in the spiritual world we think he's Narayan or we think he's Krishna, no one thinks he's ordinary in the spiritual world. Similarly, if here we think Krishna is ordinary and we manifest those thinking Krishna is ordinary by thinking his instructions are ordinary. And therefore, when Krishna tells us that we have duties according to our psychophysical nature, if we think that this is just an ordinary instruction, then we'll think Krishna is ordinary. From the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us we're not the body. He wasn't simply trying to have a philosophical argument with Arjuna or display his knowledge of matter and spirit. He set the foundation for the fact that the soul's purpose is to get liberated, become liberated from the material concept of life. And he does it, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, through the cultivation of knowledge and through the and by dutiful activities which help us become the right field or the right consciousness to cultivate spiritual knowledge. Those who are not knowing what their duty is, they'll think their duty is to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And eating, sleeping, mating, and defend, there's no particular limit to how much one has to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Of course, the body has its limits, but the mind generally has unlimited desires. So therefore, those who have no duty, they simply incessantly try to accumulate material things or engage in material sense gratification. There's no restriction. There's no rules and regulations. There's no God in control. And therefore, they conclude that the whole purpose of life is to satisfy our lust or kam, which manifests itself as anger and greed and creates a whole state of consciousness called forgetfulness and illusion and bewilderment. But Krishna says we're not the body, and the material nature works according to certain rules. And if we want to follow the rule, then we have to find out what this particular body is meant for in terms of sacrifice for Vishnu. If the body belongs to Vishnu, to Krishna, then it's meant for sacrifice for Vishnu. Just like our finger, if we believe our finger belongs to this body, then the finger serves the body. You can't say, finger, please pick it up, and goes, no way. I'm not picking anything up. Please, no. Pretty please. All right, I'll do it one time. No, if the finger is part of the body, it's meant to serve the body. So if everything belongs to Krishna, including this body, then it's meant to serve Krishna's purpose. And when it doesn't serve Krishna's purpose, then we're in illusion. And therefore Krishna says that we should do our duties. First of all, we should find out what our duty is. Now, the duty can be quite simple in terms of varna and ashram. For instance, the duty of the varnas is principally to create sacrifice for Vishnu. Therefore, the shudras are assistants. The vaishyas, they provide the ingredients for sacrifice. Because, generally speaking, well, in Satya Yuga, the only sacrifice necessary was to think about Krishna. Krite tadayato vishnum, tretiyam yajito mukai, dwarpayam paricharyam, kolotadari kirtana. Because people, they simply put their mind on Krishna and they were with Krishna. they had no other alternative desires than to simply become, serve Krishna by, on the spiritual platform. The spiritual platform, Krishna has no other need than simply the love that the soul manifests for him. But when the soul became distracted by material nature and began to become a little lusty and greedy, then the four varnas and ashrams were formed in order to give the opportunity to perform sacrifice. The things that we're attached to, if we sacrifice for Vishnu, then we become purified of that attachment, and ultimately we become purely Krishna conscious, so we can meditate upon Krishna without any disturbance. But as the ages rolled on and people became more and more attached to the material nature, then they also were not so much inclined immediately towards sacrifice. They had other interests. And therefore, deity worship was introduced so that people could go and they can get some association with Krishna in the temple, and by singing about Krishna, by giving some donations to Krishna, by hearing about Krishna in the temple, then one will become inclined to do some service for Krishna, make some sacrifice for Krishna. And by such sacrifice, one's mind becomes purified, and then one can think about Krishna without any disturbance. But as time goes on, now we're in Kali Yuga, people have no tendency, practically speaking, to go to the temple. We find sometimes devotees are living right next door to the temple, but it's too far away to go there, see the deity. Maybe for Janmasthami, they get enough energy to go next door and see the deity, because they don't want to be let think. They want the deity to know that they're still devotees. But generally, people are not so much inclined for temple worship. We may go to the temple, but we're not going to spend the whole day in the temple, or even come morning and evening and perform elaborate sacrifices for the deity or elaborate deity worship. What to speak of doing sacrifices? Well, we have no idea how to chant the Vedic hymns. And if we chant them, they have no effect. They may even have a negative effect if we chant them. Therefore, Kalota Dari Kirtana, the chanting of Hare Krishna is there because this gives us direct association with Krishna. But unless our minds are regulated, unless our senses are regulated, we can go on chanting Hare Krishna, and it's not exactly Hare Krishna. It's more like shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 day. Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty. Because our activities are not focused on Krishna. Our minds are not focused on Krishna. So we're not really chanting Hare Krishna. Because we've never heard enough to know how to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, some regulation has to be there. There are two types of swadharma. There's a swadharma given by the spiritual master, such as Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī gives us the 64 activities of pure devotional service. And there's the swadharma of the rules and regulations in varna and ashram. Now, for the neophyte devotee, he cannot claim, I'm generally speaking, only going to follow the 64 rules and regulations, or 64 aspects of pure devotional service, because generally we also have a tendency for desiring material opulence, material wealth, material sense gratification, and therefore some kind of regulation of the ashrams has to be there also. We can't think, I'm a completely self-realized person, I see everyone equally, a woman, a man, a dog, or an elephant, they see them all the same. Because the fact is we don't. And therefore, if we pretend that we do, then we'll get ourselves into trouble. Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami, after he left the womb of his mother when he was 16 years old, then he was walking past some ladies who were bathing in the pond, and they were bathing naked. But they didn't bother covering themselves. But when Śrīla Vyāsadeva, running after his son, passed by, they immediately covered themselves. So he went up to them and said, "But my son and myself were both on the same level of spiritual realization. So why is it that you covered yourself when I passed by, but you didn't cover yourself when my son passed by?" So they said that, "Well, your son is innocent. He's just like a child. He sees no difference between man and woman. But even if you don't see any difference, still you're a householder. So you have to see the difference. Otherwise, how can you be a householder?" Therefore, some difference has to be there. And what to speak of when we're conditioned, then automatically there'd be some difference. Otherwise, how can we be conditioned? Therefore, brahmachari, guru, kule, dasan, vantam, gurur, hitam. Therefore, the brahmachari is trained up so that he becomes regulated in his senses and mind. He becomes a servant of the spiritual master who gives the instructions coming from Shastra. So that one has a opportunity to serve Shastra with one's intelligence and act as a servant of Krishna, ultimately Jagavai Vishnu, rather than being dictated by the mind and the senses. So one is trained as a brahmachari, not so that one can go around when he sees a woman spit at her, or spit on the ground. That's not what brahmachari life is. It's to train the mind and the senses to utilize them as a sacrifice for Vishnu. So that if one becomes a householder, then the household life is not centered around sense gratification and economic development. Householder life is centered around jaga, sacrifice for Vishnu, dana, charity, and dhamma, sense and mind control, utilizing the senses in Krishna's service. And how do we know if someone's utilizing their senses in Krishna's service? Then their activities are sacrifices. And whatever they do is charity to the service of Vishnu and his devotees. Then, what is the whole purpose of that? Why are people doing that in the Varnashram Dharma? Why is the ashram made like... Because after one does that, one practices, and at the same time continues to cultivate Krishna consciousness, then one will become purified, and then one will begin to practice austerity. But as was mentioned yesterday, austerity doesn't mean that we simply go into the forest and we put on the latest fashion of bark. Before you go to the forest, you go downtown to the mall and see what's the latest fashion of bark and you put that on and then go into the forest. And you don't shave, you don't bring any prasad with you. You offer whatever leaves fall from the ground or roots or nuts you can find lying around. If you go into the forest around here, you won't find so many leaves. Well, there's plenty of leaves. But you won't find any edible. Maybe there's some edible flowers, but you won't find so many nuts and fruits on the trees around here. But that's not the purpose of the austerity. The purpose of the austerity of such lack of sense gratification or restraint from sense gratification is to fix the mind upon Krishna. Otherwise, the austerity is a useless waste of time if it's not helping us think of Krishna without deviation. Dhruva Maharaj didn't stop eating and ultimately drinking water, or even breathing, because he wanted to show how powerful he was. He did it because it helped him think about Krishna more easily. So that's called tapa or austerity. And by such a tapa or austerity, then one becomes fully Krishna conscious. One comes in touch with the super soul at least, and then one becomes fearless. One understands how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, and one gives up, one is completely absorbed in the higher tastes of loving ecstasy to Krishna, and sense gratification seems insignificant. So that's Varnashram, that's the ashram. The Varna is also so that those who are not, one is in brahmachari life, or grihastha life, or vanaprastha sannyas life, then one has something to do. So for the Shudras, they, generally speaking, they don't know what to do, so they have to be engaged in some kind of sacrifice for Vishnu. The Vaishyas, they provide the ingredients for the sacrifice. The Kshatriyas organize the sacrifice, and the Brahmins perform the sacrifice. And therefore, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, we get everything we need with very little effort, and therefore we can think about Krishna. If we get whatever we need with very little effort, just like in modern society, people get whatever they need with very little effort, and therefore they simply engage in nonsense activities. They'll spend a lot of effort in their useless activities. They'll go to the gym for 3 hours a day, trying to build up their muscle, because they have so much free time, and then show off the muscle so they can get some sense gratification. But if you ask them to chant Hare Krishna, they say it's too difficult. So they have so much time, and what do they utilize it? They utilize it for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. I was reading the other day that in Sparta, just an example, Sparta was an ancient city in Rome, and they were noted for having very powerful men. But actually what the men did was they were pretty useless. They just went out and they fought against other cities and they conquered them because that was their whole fixation. And then they brought back the spoils into their city of Sparta. And in the city of Sparta, the ladies there, they had nothing to do because they had all these slaves coming in all the time. So they just spend the whole time eating. They said they had to spend the whole time eating and having babies. Because that's all they had to do. And the sons, when they were 7 years old, they didn't have to take care of the children either. The sons went out into the woods with the fathers and got trained up to become warriors to go out and conquer more places. So after a while, the civilization collapsed because, first of all, the men were getting killed off in the wars. Second is that the men thought, this is a really bad deal. We're simply going out killing people all the time to bring them back, to get slaves for the ladies back home so they can simply get fat by eating and having more babies. So they started to give up their occupation, and therefore they had less and less warriors out into the field, and after a while they got conquered because they didn't have enough soldiers anymore to conquer. They weren't producing anything. And therefore the whole civilization fell apart. They eventually got conquered, got weak and conquered. So we don't know what the aim is, sacrifice for Vishnu. We don't know what our occupation is. We don't know what the purpose is. Then even we become prosperous, like the Spartans became very prosperous by their conquering. Like a modern civilization, Western civilization has become very prosperous due to their conquering other nations. I don't know if Slovenia was one of the big conquering nations in the world, or Yugoslavia, but France, Germany, Greece, I guess they were all maybe were part of Italy, sometime Italy. I guess this area was part of one of those civilizations. They spent their time simply going out to Africa, Asia, America, simply conquering, bringing all the things back. And after a while, people got fat and lazy, and they got conquered. So nowadays, we find the same thing happening. Oh, the other thing about Sparta is that their money was lead. So they didn't have any money, so they couldn't hire mercenaries to protect their their empire like they did in Rome. Rome, they got fat and lazy and engaged in sense gratification. They had gold, and so they paid mercenaries. But then after a while, the mercenaries figured out that these guys are, you know, fluff. The emperor has no clothes, and they just took over. Why should we work for these guys? We can just go and take over whatever they got. They have no spine. They're not going to do anything about it. So modern civilization, we can see in Europe right now, no sacrifice, no idea what the goal of life is. So they've simply thought the goal of life is to eat a lot nicely, sleep as much as you can, spend your whole day shopping in the mall, trying to figure out which mattress is going to be best for you, so you can sleep half your life on it. And then go from Kentucky Fried Chicken to McDonald's to steakhouse, and you know, that's your day, that's your adventure. And then, of course, then there's sex life with anything that moves. Start young. Time you're 12 years old, you're already burnt out. You've watched everything. You've experienced everything. And that's called civilization. That's the most advanced civilization, they claim. And people are becoming lazy, weak, bewildered. And therefore, we can see there's an invasion, as predicted by Nostradamus, Europe is being invaded by the Muslims. And they're just all this, you know, welcome, come, exploit us, rape us, steal from us, take our social welfare, welcome. Because we're fat, lazy, bewildered, we don't know what to do anyhow. So just come and take everything from us. So this is the same thing that happened to our famous personality. His name was Banasura. Banasura, he had 1,000 arms. Benediction from Lord Shiva. And with 1,000 arms, he challenged everyone in the universe. But he found out that no one would fight with him. Because if you have 1,000 arms, it's very hard to block your punches. So everyone was fleeing from him. What he did is he would go to mountains and he smashed his arms against the mountains and he pulverized them to pieces. But after a while he got bored because he was, with all those ability to fight, he was lusty always to fight. When you have some ability, then you become lusty to utilize it, to demonstrate it. So he went to Lord Shiva and said, I challenge you. Shiva said, oh, give it up. Get real. He said, don't worry. He said, don't worry. So the time will come when you'll meet your match and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So what was the result? Did he become fearful? No, he became enthusiastic that one day someone's going to come and smash me to pieces, and therefore my lusty desire to satisfy my arms by fighting will go away and I'll feel a little peace. So similarly, they've utilized sense gratification to such a degree, people don't know what the purpose of life is. Practically, the whole society is committing suicide. Because they have to utilize their energy in some way. If it's not to sacrifice for Vishnu, it's going to be utilized for one's destruction. Like America now there's the biggest opiate addiction that's ever happened. The most people are dying from overdoses that ever happened. And it's not ghetto people taking drugs, heroin. It's middle class people in the suburbs addicted to painkillers and overdosing on them. They have one painkiller. You can, in one little pill, not that big, there's enough potency in the painkiller to kill the pain of 50,000 people. And if you take a little fraction of it too much, immediately you overdose and you die. So they're manufacturing those things and distributing them. And they're wondering, why is there so much problems in the world? Well, look at the society. They're misdirected and therefore they become fat and lazy, bored, indulging in sense gratification, and the people are coming in and just taking over. And the whole civilization will collapse because the people who are taking over have no brains either. The conclusion is that without Varnashram Dharma, without rules and regulations for sacrifice from for Vishnu, the whole society goes to hell. And we're witnessing that. Although there's still talk about how great our how great Europe is, how great Australia, New Zealand is, how great America is, but it doesn't look as great as it used to be. They've had two wars here, which completely smashed Europe. And we're thinking it can't happen again, because we're too nice. We eat our dead animals with a fork and knife, and therefore we're civilized, so God will be merciful to us. But the point is, as it says here, we can see it right before us, the destruction of civilization because of the lack of sacrifice for Vishnu, the lack of rules and regulations according to the Varnashram system, and therefore people are overindulging in sense gratification, and therefore reducing their, as it says, tatak sadharma, tatak chanudinam dharma, satvam socham dayashama, balena kalila rajan, nakshatnyaya bulam smriti. Day after day, with the reduction of religious principles reducing, tatas chanudinam dharma, satvam, and therefore truthfulness is diminishing, socham, cleanliness, daya, mercy, daya, shama, and forgiveness is being reduced. By the strong force of Kali Yuga, even one's memory and one's bodily strength is being reduced. The conclusion is that unless we sacrifice for Vishnu in this age by chanting Hare Krishna and follow the principles of Varnashram, which is mostly to regulate our sense gratification, especially sex life, regulate the tongue to take Krishna prasadam and to speak about Krishna, then the result is that the society will degrade itself and eventually be self-destruct. No matter how sincere we think we are, how technologically advanced we become, it'll simply create robots which will take over. And maybe the robots hopefully will chant Hare Krishna. They're programmed nicely. At least they'll follow robot dharma. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So you were speaking about how different varnas participate in sacrifice. Shudras,
they assist. Just like someone, the Vaishyas, generally, they can't do everything by themselves. Therefore, they have Shudras assisting them. Like we have, nowadays we have factory chiefs, managers, and we have factory workers. So there's so much agriculture that's necessary to provide the food for everyone, including the animals are even allowed to eat, the Vedic culture, and also provide the ingredients for sacrifice. So their Shudras are assisting. And the Vaishyas, they grow the food, protect the animals, especially the cow, provides the ghee and the grains to utilize for the sacrifice, and do the trade where they get the jewels and the gold and the utensils utilized for the sacrifice. And then the Kshatriyas, they organize the sacrifice. They provide a peaceful society so the sacrifice can go on without any outside disturbance. They gather up the ingredients from the Vaishyas, so, and then they organize the sacrifice so the Brahmins can do the sacrifice, chant the Vedic mantras, and therefore offer the ingredients that everyone has collected in the sacrifice, and therefore they all become purified because their endeavor winds up in sacrifice. And at the same time, chant the mantras in such a way as to complete the sacrifice, to actually direct the ingredients are being offered to the proper personalities, especially Vishnu. So that Vishnu actually becomes inclined to accept the ingredients and everyone becomes benefited by such a sacrifice. Is that clear? Anything else? Yes.
How do we learn which karma?
Well, if we don't know, then we're probably Shudras. Brahmins, they know the scripture, so they know what, obviously they know what a Brahmin is. And they display those characteristics, so they think, I'm clean, I'm truthful, I'm sense and mind control, I'm religious, I have knowledge theoretically and I apply it. Therefore I'm a Brahmin. The Kshatriyas, they learn from the Brahmins what a Kshatriya is. They see that they're heroic, they're charitable, they have courage in battle. So they think, I'm a Kshatriya. The Vaishyas, they take care of the cows, they do the agriculture and they do trade. So they think, well, I'm working like a Vaishya. And we're not doing any of those things, and we don't know what we're doing. We must be a Shudra at best. That's if we're a Shudra, if we're assisting the others who actually know what they're doing. And if no one knows what they're doing, we're not even qualified to be a Shudra. There's no people who are Brahmins, there's no people who are Kshatriyas, there's no persons who are Vaishyas, then we can't even be a good Shudra. Because there's no one to assist. Therefore, generally speaking, people are just Mulechas and Yavanas, it says here. They don't know it, they don't follow any rules and regulations of the scriptures. They follow rules and regulations. Everyone has to follow rule and regulation. If you go to McDonald's and it says €1 for a burger, then you have to give the euro. That's your regulation that you follow. Get your burger. But that's not a Vedic rule and regulation. Anything else? Yes.
It's interesting. I saw like in other countries that were big conquerors like Italy and this, they have problems pronouncing the Maha Mantra. Like in Italy, they can't say H. Or in other countries that were big conquerors, they can't really pronounce correct the Maha Mantra.
What about the Americans?
I think it's R. They can say R. This word for one.
Americans, they can chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Well, the English, at least, they speak English. I don't think they have any problem. But whether, you know, the point is if we don't know what the Vedic culture is, we have no idea. Vedic culture, we're not talking about some sectarian culture. We're talking about the three modes of material nature, Krishna says, and our duties that automatically come about according to the modes of nature we've acquired. We don't follow those rules and regulations, then we're going to eventually become degraded.
But in Kali Yuga, it says that everyone is Shudra on lower board, and the other only process is that we have Pancha Ratra system to clean.
Well, the process is Harinam Sankirtan. So people chant Hare Krishna. Then there's some possibility of also introducing things pancharachika, especially the deity worship. And eventually, when we develop enough, there may be some opportunity to institute Varnashram, so the society becomes normalized. But it doesn't look like first of all, we don't have that many devotees chanting Hare Krishna. We don't have that many devotees really participating in the Pancharatra system. And we don't have that many devotees who are actually preaching to create a society of people eligible to participate in Varnashram even. So it doesn't automatically come. It comes by proper understanding on the part of the devotees that they have to chant Hare Krishna, and to help that chanting they have to have nice deity worship. And then also the chanting is, in this age, the deity worship is to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to serve the deity of the holy name, and to distribute that. So that's also deity worship in this age. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.